Well, welcome back. I want to share a few thoughts with you around Easter and the Resurrection Sunday this morning. I just want to start off this morning, since we're talking, I've been talking the last couple of days about life and death. I have a joke for you that kind of sits in that. It's actually courtesy of Matt Gooley, and probably out of 10 of Matt's jokes, I'm going to use this one. So two 90-year-old men, Mike and Joe, they have been friends all of their lives. And when it's clear that Joe is dying, Mike visits him every day. One day, Mike says to Joe, "Hey, we both love football all our lives, and we played football on Saturdays together for so many years. Please do me one favour when you go to heaven. Somehow you must let me know if there's football there." So Joe looks up at Mike from his deathbed, and he says to him, "Mike, you've been my best friend for many years. If it's at all possible, I'll do this favour for you." Shortly after that, Joe passes on. At midnight, a couple of nights later, Mike's awakened from a sound sleep by a blinding flash of light, white light, and a voice calling out to him, "Mike, Mike, who is it?" asks Mike, sitting up suddenly. "Who is it?" "Mike, it's me, it's Joe." "You're not Joe. Joe just died. I'm telling you, it's me, it's Joe," insists the voice. "Joe, where are you?" "In heaven," replies Joe. "I have some really good news and a little bad news to tell you." "Better yet, oh, tell me the good news." He says, "Well, the good news," Joe says, "is that there's football in heaven. Better yet, all of our old friends who died before us are here too. And better than that, we're all young again. And best of all, we can play football all we want and we never get tired." "That's fantastic," says Mike. "It's beyond my wildest dreams. So what could possibly be the bad news?" Joe says, "You're in the team for this Saturday." I'll just leave a little pause while you fall over in laughter on the ground at home and just enjoy that one. Well, if you joined us on Good Friday, and even if you didn't, what we looked at was a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 8 to 10. And the passage says this, it says, "We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the life, in the death and the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies." Wow, we're troubled but not crushed. We're perplexed but not despairing. We're hunted down but not abandoned by God. We're knocked down but not destroyed. We're suffering but releasing and evidencing life. That's all through Jesus' death and his resurrection. This morning I want to continue on the verses that go after that passage, because they're even more exciting and really pertain to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Paul goes on in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verses 13 to 16. He says, "But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the same as the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there'll be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up." You see, Jesus died and he rose again to empower us beyond surviving. He didn't just die and rise again so we could just survive and just get through. He actually died and rose again so we could thrive and have life to the very fullest. And when we believe in Jesus, we actually, it says, we died and we rose with him. And Paul reminds us that this is for our benefit. It's also for the benefit of others. And ultimately, Paul says, it's so that God receives all the glory. Jesus' grace, it says his empowering presence, it's actually contagious. It's the one thing that we want to actually catch, and it's the one thing that we want to release. It's the one thing we want to break all social protocols and just release, because Jesus' grace, his empowering presence, is there for all to catch and all for have. And that's why Paul says we must never, ever give up. Now is not a season for giving up. Now is not a season for just surviving. This is a season to thrive and experience the fullness that Jesus died and resurrected for us for. And so this morning, I've called this morning Jesus' disciples assurance package. Not quite insurance, because we have so much, but this is our assurance package. This is what we can be assured of as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to read even a little bit further with me out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to keep going on it from verses 16, the second part of verse 16 to verse 18. Paul says this. He says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we will see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Those couple of verses, I really think, are verses for this season, for this hour. They just kind of give us that, as we talked about on Friday, that right center so that we get the right circumference. They bring us back to the right alignment about what's really important and what the significance of Jesus' death and particularly his resurrection means for us. And so the three things out of that I want to suggest to you are part of the our disciples or disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus' assurance package are these three things. The first is this, that we are being renewed every day. We are being renewed every day. Our physical bodies are getting older, but our spirits are being made new every day. You could declare, every day I am being renewed. Every day I am walking in renewal. Renewal is not something that we're waiting for. Renewal is something that we're experiencing every day. Every day we are walking in renewal. Every day we are walking in spiritual renewal, in revival, so to speak. And every day that's increasing and growing bigger and bigger. It's not something we're waiting for. It's actually happening every day. We are actually walking in renewal. Our physical bodies are, as I said, getting older, but our spirits are being renewed. It's like when you look at the ocean and you stand and the tide rises and falls and the waves come in over the rocks and fill those rock pools every day. They're being refreshed. Every day they're being renewed. The waves just keep coming in and coming in. There's not a time where the waves stop and don't come in. And so every day our spirits likewise are being renewed. That's a great declaration to make every day when you get up in the morning. Hey, today I'm experiencing renewal. Today my spirit is being renewed. So even though yesterday you may have found yourself in despair, today's a new day. And today, every day, our spirits are being renewed. What a great thing to be assured about every day as we walk in faith with Jesus, that we're being renewed, that he's renewing us every day. The second thing I want as part of our assurance package is this, that our troubles produce a glory that will last forever. Our troubles actually produce a glory. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Our troubles produce a glory that actually will last forever. In the big picture, in God's picture, our present troubles, it says, Paul says, that they're just small and they won't last. No matter how big you think coronavirus is right now, it's in God's pictures just very small. And it won't last, and there'll be, and we'll get through this. The fires, as big as the fires were, and as big as the drought is, it'll pass. I've been watching over the last little while. I just have a linking back to the country, and I'm really fascinated with Burrendong Dam, which is 3.5 times the size, the capacity of Sydney Harbour. And about a couple of months ago, or even just 4 weeks ago, I think it was about 1%. And I've been wondering how low it would get. And then just slowly by slowly, over the last couple of weeks, it's just been rising bit by bit, bit by bit. It's now at 14%. And I've just been watching that just grow and grow and grow and thinking, yeah, I remember the day when that was back down to less than 3%. And I remember the day 6 weeks later when I watched it dam and it was 110% full. And I'm looking at it now going, it was back to 1%. It's now 14%. And I know there'll be a day where that dam will be full again. That too. That drought will pass, the fires will pass, and coronavirus will pass. And that in the midst of all those troubles, there's being produced by Jesus a glory that won't stop, but that will last and it'll last eternity. It'll be a glory that shows itself to others. It'll be a glory that shows and represents who Jesus really is. And so I want to encourage us, kind of like just thinking about the modeling. There's been lots of modeling that's been happening lately where research people and experts have been trying to model the curve and model what's been happening. Well, I want to tell you, if you were to model the glory of God, it's increasing. It's on an upward scale. It's going up and up and up and up, and it's only going to be increasing. It's not dying off with coronavirus. It's not dying off with any other calamity that we might find on this earth. It's just increasing, increasing, increasing. It's unlike the stock markets that go up and down. The kingdom of God is always moving forward, and the kingdom of God is always increasing. Those that don't see the kingdom or those that don't see the glory of God have a perception that the world is getting worse. But if you can step back a bit and actually see the kingdom and the glory for what it is, then you'll put that in perspective that that's increasing on the earth and actually things are getting better rather than worse. Sometimes we get so consumed with what's happening around us, we fail to see that. But I want to assure you this morning that our assurance that we have as Jesus followers is that our troubles produce a glory that actually will last forever. So in the midst of any trouble or trouble that you may be feeling or facing now, know that in this season, God is doing something amazing in us that's going to produce something even more amazing, and that's His glory. And the third thing I want to remind us about is that what we see spiritually will last forever. What we see spiritually will last forever. Paul says, don't focus on our troubles. You know, we talked about in recent weeks what you focus on increases. And so if you want to focus on your trouble, go right ahead, but that's what will increase. Paul says, rather, focus on the things that you cannot see. Fix your gaze on what is unseen, the spiritual and the heavenly realities. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see in Hebrews. And it says in Colossians, to set your mind on the things of heaven. Our troubles, what we can see, they, as I said, will soon be gone. What we can't see will last forever. The promises of God will last forever. The goodness of God will last forever. The kindness of God will last forever. The mercy of God will last forever. The forgiveness of God will last forever. The eternal realities of heaven is a place where there is no sickness, where there is no coronavirus, no death, no tears, no suffering, no isolation, no financial crisis, no job loss, no limitations, no sin. In the presence of God and in heaven, there's intimacy, there's unconditional love, there's acceptance of the Heavenly Father, there's no tears, there's complete health, there's righteousness, there's everything good and even more, and it never ends. So, thinking about Jesus' death and now celebrating His resurrection, that victory allows us to live out of a place of abundance. They allow us to live out of that place of actually thriving, of living life to the full, of not just surviving and not just getting by, but doing so well. We move, as we looked at on Good Friday, we move from a place of being troubled but certainly not crushed, because Jesus gives us hope. We move from a place of being perplexed but not despairing, because this too will pass. We move from a place of being hunted down but knowing that Jesus is with us always, even to the end of age. We will never, ever be abandoned. We move from a place of being knocked down but never destroyed, because God is with us. He has hold of our right hand. He'll take us through anything we go through. And we move from a place of suffering, but in the midst of that, in the midst of those troubles, releasing life and joy that bring glory ultimately to God the Father forever and ever. Having a Jesus disciple assurance package reminds us that our spirits are being renewed every day, that our troubles produce a glory that will last forever, and that what we see spiritually will last forever. So I want to encourage you in this hour, in this season, don't give up, but rather lean in to the presence of God in this season. Lean in and live out of the victory, the renewal, and the hope that is ours through Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection provides us the springboard to dive off and into, to celebrate life, to move on and upwards, to go forward. It's the place of launching. It's the place of dreams. It's the place of identity and fulfilling all that God created us to be and to have and to do. So enjoy that today. I want to pray for us this morning. So if you're home or wherever you are, let's just pray together.